This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Pin Chasers, three locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, and Anthony Peroni and the Pin Chasers family are celebrating their 60th anniversary. You've got 30-plus lanes at 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills, 50 lanes at 4847 North Armenia, and 40 lanes at 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just east of the Veterans Expressway. You can always check out Bone Bowling Night with my pal Drew Garabo every Wednesday night. Drew is generally at the Midtown location from 8 to 10 for Bone Bowling Night, where Miller Lite drafts are just a dollar. Regular late night specials, five nights a week, Sunday through Thursday, from 9 p.m. on. And remember, the Breakfast Bowl every morning is a terrific deal, 7 days a week at all three locations. Remember, you never pay extra for shoes at Pin Chasers. Even if you don't have the proper socks, just ask them and they will provide a pair of those for you as well. Pin Chasers, huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including Todd Wright Tour 21 coming up later this month at the Eagles Golf Club. Also at Todd Wright Tour 21 coming up later this month will be Daniel Shipman and company from Full Torque Fitness. It was roughly a little over 6 months ago now that Daniel reached out to me. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And he introduced himself. He said, I'm trying to get to as many golf tournaments as I can in the Tampa Bay area to introduce myself, and I'll offer free stretching for your players. Daniel's relationship with me has grown ever since, and I'm happy to now have him in the podcast family as well. He basically asked these simple questions. Do you walk away from a round of golf with pain in your lower back? Are you tired? Do you feel like your hips just aren't working correctly to allow you to flight the ball properly? Daniel wants to put you through a Titleist Performance Institute screen to find your limitations and then build a program to remove those limitations and get the most potential out of your swing and game. The benefits: reduced pain, better core strength, better stability, and improved range of motion. He does one-on-one personal training as well as small group individualized training. The testimonials just keep growing. Full Torque Fitness is online at fulltorquefitness.com or call 727-351-5164. Or even better, play in an upcoming Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. Walk up and introduce yourself to Daniel, stretching out players for free at my tournament before we start play. He does that at roughly five tournaments a month throughout the Tampa Bay area. If you don't see him at a Todd Wright Tour event and you're playing in a different event, look for him. He might be there as well. FullTorqueFitness.com, 727-351-5164. A lot of ways I could go with this first Toddcast after the first NFL Sunday, but mainly because of the timing of tonight being the first NFL Monday of the season, I felt it was finally time to air the truth about Anthony McFarland. McFarland, later tonight, as many of you will watch, hopefully without the audio, the first of two Monday Night Football games on ESPN. McFarland joined the Monday Night Football team last year. It was Jason Witten who got bashed, but the entire broadcast team was considered significantly subpar. Witten wanted out of the deal before the season even ended. Wanted to go back to playing football for the Cowboys. Was it because the Cowboys were good and winning the division and going on to the playoffs and Witten's never been to a Super Bowl or a conference championship game? Or was it because Jason Witten realized the same thing I realized a handful of years ago, that you cannot work with Anthony McFarland? You know, in all my history of working with people, all the way back to my college radio days at WVUM-FM in Coral Gables, calling Miami Hurricane football games, Miami Hurricane men's basketball, Miami Hurricane women's basketball, Miami Hurricanes baseball, through my 17-plus years on national radio, a decade on ESPN, and the other 7-plus working for the great Craig Larson on Sporting News Radio and Yahoo Sports Radio, I've never walked out on working with anyone on air other than Anthony McFarland. So I had a line at our Hooters Todd Wright Fantasy Football draft night when someone drafted Jason Witten in our podcast league. And as I wrote Witten's name on the board, I said, the only man who didn't want to work with Anthony McFarland less than me, Jason Witten. Well, congratulations to Jason Witten, because he not only is back in the NFL with the Cowboys, but he scored a touchdown in the Cowboys' win over the Giants. Good start for Jason Witten, and anything's better than working with Anthony McFarland. I didn't watch a lot of that Holy Moly show, even though I love golf, but I saw enough to know that Joe Tessitore had a better partner on Holy Moly than he does on Monday Night Football in Anthony McFarland. Let me tell you a little bit more about Anthony McFarland. And also, I want to tell you some things to listen for when it comes to Anthony McFarland on Monday Night Football, now that he's out of the Boogermobile on the sideline. There is no Jason Witten, and it's just him with a true professional play-by-play man in Joe Tessitore, who honestly I enjoy more on college football and boxing than I do on NFL. But Joe's a professional. He makes the best of any situation. By the way, it amused me when I heard that McFarland was going to work with Jason Witten, because at one point in the 7 weeks that I did a four-hour radio show in Tampa with Anthony McFarland, he turned to me during a break, knowing I was a Cowboy fan, and after a big game for Jason Witten, and said to me off the air, he ain't that good. Well, yeah, McFarland, you know what? Witten's going to the Hall of Fame. You're not even in the same sentence as Hall of Fame. It was just one of many stupid things that McFarland said, both on and off the air, for the 7 weeks I worked with him that felt like seven decades, before I walked out and said, I never want to be in a studio with him again. You know, I think McFarland was protected last year by Witten. I'm not saying Witten was good. I don't think he was. Honestly, I never thought Witten would be good. Now, I was wrong on Romo. Romo is good, although he still sounds like a little kid out there. But people love how Romo is smart and can tell them things to look for pre-snap, and he's right a lot of the time, and how he delivers it. Well, now McFarland is going to be in that role, and knowing him, he's going to try to do some of the same things. Here's the problem. He doesn't know offense. He doesn't know a damn thing about offense. So let's think about the other lead analysts on the other three networks for their number one teams. Al Michaels has Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth, smart offensive player. Jim Nance has Tony Romo, smart offensive player. Joe Buck has Troy Aikman, smart offensive player. So now here's McFarland, who all he got to do when he would jump in pre-snap while Witten was getting bashed was Booger would say something like, all right, they're going to dial up some pressure here. No shit. That's it. That's all he had. Which is why some of the early Monday night games with him in the booth, it's been a lot of dead air pre-snap. Because McFarland can't give you anything with what the quarterback sees and what's the right read. He doesn't know. So he's going to be exposed in this gig. You know, also, as a person, McFarlane's a fraud. There are people out there who swear, oh, he's such a nice guy. Oh, such a really nice guy. He is a fraud. McFarlane views people two ways. He's really nice to the people who can potentially do something nice for him. Then there's everyone else. If you can't do anything nice for him, or you're in his way of achieving what he wants professionally, and I'm sure Jason Witten felt this as well, he'll do anything he can to walk all over you. He's also, McFarlane, obsessed with nicknames. The entire time that I worked with him, those 7 weeks that felt like seven decades because he was so bad, he never once called me Todd. He always had to call me T-Dub, 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 T-Dub. What did he do on Monday Night Football last year? Tess, Tess, Wit, Tess, Wit, Tess. And then he makes up nicknames for players also. It's childish. It's dumbing it down. So be aware of that also. Oh, let me point something out. The last time McFarlane was on a big stage for a game, it was the playoff game that ESPN broadcast. They get the shittiest one. They got the Colts-Texans playoff game to start the playoffs last year on the Saturday afternoon because I was in Dallas getting ready to go to the Cowboys game that night against the Seahawks. And my friend Kendall reached out to me and even said, hey, we're going over to Texas Live to watch the Colts and the Texans, and then we'll walk into the game. And I said, nope. I need to listen to the audio of this game. One of the things that I heard, and I'm glad my friend Joey also pointed it out, was McFarlane took a shot at J.J. Watt. Yeah, I don't know who takes shots at J.J. Watt. For what? Here was what he took a shot of him for. He took a shot of him for Watt pulling up when he clearly couldn't get to Andrew Luck, remember him? Jumping up and batting down a ball. McFarlane basically said, that's not Watt's job. His job is to get to the quarterback. What my friend Joey pointed out was very interesting, and it shows how people started to catch on to what a fraud McFarlane was. And they wanted to make him look bad. Because right when he said that, the truck was ready and put up a graphic on the screen about how many balls Watt knocks down like that and how he's one of the best in the NFL at doing it. Does anyone think that's a bad play? Anyone? Anyone think that's a bad play? If you can't sack the quarterback, if you knock down the ball he is intending to complete, which will result in no gain and loss of down, anyone else think that's bad? McFarlane does. Well, the truck put up the stat, and it just made McFarlane look really bad. Which, honestly, to me, as someone who worked with him, isn't that hard. He likes to take the easy way out when it comes to talking about things. So listen for that as well. Just again, when I say the nicknames and, you know, say, oh, they're going to dial up some pressure. He's not telling you anything. He's just talking about Chris Collinsworth will point things out to you. Tony Romo tells you what the quarterback sees and if there's an audible, what he's checking off to do. Now, a lot of you don't like Buck and Aikman. I do like Buck and Aikman, and I think they have a good chemistry, and they call a good game. And I think Aikman knows what he's talking about from a football standpoint better than McFarlane does. You know, I walked out of a studio after the 7 weeks that felt like seven decades with Anthony McFarland, and it's a good thing I did, because both the two men that followed me trying to be on lead mic with McFarland sitting next to them, they both ended up wanting to or actually fighting him. Yeah, physically. Because McFarland angered them so much with what he does and how he does it. Let me tell you another neat little story about those 7 weeks and about how the management of that particular company, which never acknowledged the mess they created with that radio station. They just traded it off with another broadcast group, and then that broadcast group fired everybody because there was no way they could clean up the mess. I very proudly, and I talk about my relationship with Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford, which is a big supporter of mine and JoeBucksFan.com. I've been a Ford owner for a few years now. Prior to that, I owned a Toyota Tacoma truck. My friends know this. Forever. It's one of the best purchases I've ever made in my life. It was a 1995 Toyota Tacoma truck. And that thing, and for anyone who knows that mid-90s model Toyota Tacoma, some of you are already nodding, you know that thing was a freaking tank. After roughly 20 plus years, I finally had three separate mechanics at three separate businesses say, it's time. And someone still bought my truck at auction to fix it up, and I'm sure someone is still driving it around Tampa Bay. Point being, was in the 7 weeks that felt like seven decades that I had to share 4 hours of daily radio time with Anthony McFarland, it was only a natural that this fledgling sports radio station that I was trying to build an audience with and for could find me a car deal. Everybody knew I drove an old, beat-up Toyota Tacoma truck, that I could be a great spokesman for Toyota about how good that truck had been to me. It was just a natural fit for a car deal for me. I wasn't asking for a free automobile. I was simply saying this is an endorsement that makes sense, probably more than any endorsement I had ever done at that point. You know what the sales staff said to me? Good idea. We'll work on it after we get a car for Booger. And I said, why does Booger need a car? And they said, well, he says he needs to replace one. I said, how many does he have? And they said, well, he has four. And I walked out of that meeting right away. So Booger having four cars and him getting a car deal was more important or made more sense for some reason than me getting one on a vehicle that I had driven for about 250,000 miles that was going to die, which also showed the misplaced ideas and thoughts from the management people that ran that radio station. And appropriately, that station was out of business shortly after everybody's two-year contracts were up, and it was the fault of management. And there were a lot of people who were hurt by that, good people, who were hurt by a lot of bad decisions that were made in Tampa and also from the corporate office in New York. You know, McFarland got a big push from the big dog, Steve Dumick. He did a radio show with him for a while back when he was with the Buccaneers. Big dog would always kind of go out of his way, knowing McFarland wanted to get more involved in media. And behind the scenes, Steve did a lot of things. As a matter of fact, when I mean, I knew pretty early on that I was going to be one of the main hosts of this then new Tampa Bay sports radio station. They just couldn't figure out who else was going to be on that station. And then in the end, they made the horrible decision to put McFarlane with me. One of the people who was involved with even McFarlane getting an audition and giving him advice was Steve Dumig. If it wasn't for Steve Dumig and a close tie of Steve Dumig, who did work at this news station, McFarlane never would have even gotten an audition. By the way, in our audition, around that time, one of the things they said, just come up with some topics. We want to hear how he is with you. I brought up whether or not the Lightning should draft this Russian goaltender named Andrei Vasilevsky. McFarlane didn't know who he was. So Steve Dumig really gets some credit for the fact that McFarlane even got a chance at Steve Dumig's Celebration of Life translation, the memorial. McFarlane, who, yeah, still lives in Tampa, McFarlane was a no-show at Dumig's funeral. A no-show. Way to pay your respects to a guy who did a lot for you to get your second career started. You know, I hope the Joe Bucks fan guys are okay with me quoting Scott Reynolds. I won't say where Scott is from, but many of you know. And Scott Reynolds would listen to some of those shows where I was on lead mic with McFarlane sitting next to me. And Reynolds said to me, after I walked out of working with McFarlane, I'll paraphrase, but it reinforced that I had made the right decision walking out on working with that person ever again. Scott Reynolds said something like, Todd paints this beautiful picture often on the air, and he just lays it out for everybody to understand in all angles of it. And then Booger opens his mouth and shits all over it. End of quotation. Thank you, Scott Reynolds, for saying that. You know, what was also sad about how that all went down was when that was starting out, the only reason why I did it was because I felt that there needed to be a new big-time sports radio station in Tampa Bay. And I still stand by that, because the one where Steve Dumig worked, in my opinion, is not very good anymore. I like Tom Krasnicki, and there are some other people I like personally. But on the air, they have Tom Krasnicki, and that's about it to me. That's not enough. Most people agree with me. That station isn't what it was. So the timing was right for this other radio station to start. And I'll just say, a guy named Mike came to me and said, we'd love to build this around you. But in the end, Mike didn't have the power to build anything around me. There were too many other management types that had all the wrong ideas. Hell, we switched program directors, and they brought in this guy, John, who had never been program director of a sports radio station. He walked in the first meeting and said, we're going to rock. He knew nothing about sports and nothing about sports radio. It was one of the stupidest moves I have ever seen. But that kind of shit happens in radio when you become one of their guys at a big corporation, and they just move you around and always give you a job. And of course, he got a job back doing music somewhere, probably down in South Florida, when Beasley decided not to clean up the mess that they inherited when the other company sold the station/traded it off. But anyway, I knew there was room for that, and I kind of wanted to do a show, whether it was midday, afternoons, whatever. I'm not a morning person. And it was going to be my last gig. I wanted to do it for a long time. And a lot of people in Tampa Bay knew who I was. I had quite a resume to back me up. I had contacts to get that job done. And they didn't let me do it because they saddled me with Anthony McFarland. And the sad part about that was how, look, we all do things, jobs that don't work out. Here's the sad part. I cared. I cared about giving Tampa Bay a product that they would like for many, many years to come. I knew Steve's death was tragic, but Steve's older than me. He wasn't going to be able to keep doing it forever. And the station around him was falling apart. There were a lot of people out there like me that only listened to Steve. They didn't listen to the show before him. They didn't. And again, I think Tom Krasnicki does an excellent job. If that station had five more Tom Krasnickis, I'd listen to it. They don't. The time was right. The execution was brutal. And it's sad because had things worked out and that station still been on the air, I would still be on the air too. I would want to be on that station in my home city doing all the things that I now do on podcasts like this. That's what I wanted. I didn't want anything else. I didn't want to use it as a springboard. I'd already done 17 plus years of national radio. This was going to be a retirement gig for me. And I just wanted the ball. And let me run with it. They wouldn't give it to me. They gave it to Anthony McFarland instead. He didn't care at all about the people who worked there. You know why? Because they couldn't do anything for him. Yeah, they could get him a switch out on a fourth automobile. But they couldn't do enough for him. He wanted to do all these other things. He was ready to bail at the first opportunity. So I'm sure when the station went under, a big portion of that was his failure to generate any sort of consistent audience and have any kind of accountability in Afternoon Drive with three different hosts. I walked the other two, wanted to, or fought him. He just brushed it aside. He didn't care about the people at the station when the station went down. I still care about a number of those people. Some have done well. Some have left the business entirely. He was there for the wrong reasons. I wasn't. So think about all these things that I said about Anthony McFarland when you listen to him tonight as the solo analyst in the booth next to the professional play-by-play man Joe Tessitore. Listen close. Compare some of the things McFarland says to other lead analysts like Collinsworth and Aikman and Romo. And see if he really gives you anything. See if he ever gives you an actual name and not just a nickname. See if it's just fluff. See if he has risen to his ceiling and that there's nowhere for him to go but down now that Jason Witten, who again didn't do a good job, is out of the way so people will actually pay attention more to McFarland other than just the guys in the truck, Jason Witten, and me, who knew McFarland was a fraud. So as the headline of this podcast said, I say in closing, McFarland, break a leg tonight. No, seriously, break both. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. 60th anniversary in the Tampa Bay area. Three locations, 6816 Gale Boulevard, 4847 North Armenia, and 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue. And, of course, by Full Torque Fitness. Full Torque Fitness is a proud supporter of Todd Wright Tour golf events. They come out and stretch players for free at all Todd Wright Tour events, including Todd Wright Tour 21, coming up at the end of this month at the Eagles Golf Club. FullTorqueFitness.com, FullTorqueFitness.com. That concludes this very passionate edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, and I will talk to you next time.